show up next. So. Anyway, I'm very pleased to be here in Gothenburg. I got up at 4 in the morning in Belgium to be here, but it's very nice to see so many people here, especially people arriving all the way from Denmark and Norway, apparently. So, apparently some eager Danish fans there. Mm-hmm. I heard you always for beta tester, by the way. One of you always for beta tester.
Most of us.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyways, I'll talk to you later about that. I'm here to give you a short update on the progress of OS4. I also must thank you all for being so very patient with us for over these close to 18 months now that we've been working on it. When we first started out, we had a much more limited time frame for development in mind. We wanted to do something like Amitlon, basically just the kernel, and then run everything on top of it, emulated, just OS 3.9, running on top of WarpOS with a 68K emulator. When we started thinking about that and looking into it, we decided, well, that's really not the best solution. I mean, it's too slow, and OS 3.9, it's simply not modern enough in many aspects to appeal even to current Amiga users. We are obviously not Windows XP or Mac OS 10 fans, but everybody knows these systems. Everybody uses them for work or for other reasons. So we can't really release in 2002 or an operating system which lacks very basic features. So we then decided to expand the functionality and move everything from 4.2 into OS 4.0. Which is the reason for it, that we are now working on it for 18 months. But I'm very pleased now that we are really seeing the end of the development cycle. The beta testers will know that we have released now to them the XXSG kernel with the ability to run 68K programs emulated. You might have seen the screenshots of various programs, MakeCD, Dir Opus 4, WordWord, they're all running on OS 4 under the emulation layer. Ideally, of course, some of these programs where developers are still available will be recompiled for OS 4 to take advantage of new functionality like application library, new APIs, virtual memory, things like that. Okay, so where are we now? All the functionality that's listed in the document that apparently some people have printed out, the features document, is implemented. I would say 99%, 98%, something like that. There are some exceptions still, minor things. We're still bug hunting and correcting some problems. But other than that, the functionality is there. What we're doing now is we're migrating all the 68K modules to PPC. In the course of those last 18 months, we have re-implemented and recompiled 95% of the kickstart, the 3.1 kickstart for OS 4. So we have replaced all these modules that were either in 68K assembly. We have re-implemented them in C. This includes things like DOS, layers library, fast file system. These are all now available to us in C, and what we are now doing is we are recompiling them for OS 4 native. We think we need about 3 days per module to do this, but we have obviously 6-7 developers standing by who are helping us out with that. What we are doing now is getting an OS 4 native compiler so that we can compile programs using special GCC for OS 4 running on top of OS 4. As a result, what we are seeing now is that every 2-3 days a new PPC module is released, so that by the end of July, most likely we'll have everything in OS 4 that is intended to be PPC native is going to be PPC native. And then we're very close to the release of the Cyberstorm version. I would say still this summer, very, very likely. There are some things that we still need to tidy up, but I just this morning got an email from Massimo Tantin Joy that the intuition is now almost 99% ready. So I think even in the course of the OS 4 tour, we're going to see the final default look of intuition. The reactions to the intuition screenshots have been more or less favorable. Some people are still complaining about, well, it doesn't look like this, and it's the icons are not 16 million colors and stuff like that, but there are only so many things that you can do in an OS update. I mean, as it stands, OS 4 is probably by far the most ambitious OS update since 2.x to 3. In terms of the functionality that we introduced, like Mount Rainier, which is a system to allow you to use your CD burner as a floppy drive or as a hard disk, a complete new TCP/IP stack, gaming-related APIs, OpenGL, anti-alias fonts, you can go on like that for ages. That's the modern new functionality we introduced, but we've also re-implemented lots of these legacy stuff that even Commodore didn't want to touch. DOS library, for instance. I mean, Colin Wenzel from Australia spent over a year re-implementing this thing, and it was a nightmare. Nobody wanted to touch it. Not even Commodore said they kept it around. You know, and said no, we're not going to touch that. You know, it was a nightmare. And everybody who looked at the code said no, sorry, hire somebody else for the job. You know, so, but you know, it had to be done. You know, you can't really drag around all the 68K legacy with BCPL and predecessor languages and forever. You need to make a clean break for the new PPC hardware. On the other hand, you can't expect a complete re-implementation of the operating system in 18 months with the limited resources that we have at our disposal. I mean, we're not Commodore. I mean, Commodore used to have a larger pencil budget than we have for OS 4, probably. Even Petro probably spent more on handing out pens than we can afford to pay people. But that's the market, and you know, you need to take a risk and launch into this type of stuff. And so far, the reactions have been very favorable. We're seeing interest, and it's too bad that Alan Redhouse from IT couldn't make it. But we're seeing interest from various parties, even in the Far East, to use OS 4 on set-top boxes, on multimedia embedded devices, things like kiosk systems. When you go to a train station, you get these kiosk systems where it lists departure times. You go to a vending machine and it tells you can buy this and that and so forth. I mean, there's all technology behind these type of applications. And many times you'll be surprised that even in various parts of the world, people are sending us email. We still have a Miha 1200 in racks. And then they're running A1200s with an O3050, and they have them in racks in Australia, and they're using them for all these type of applications I was just talking about. And these people are dying to get a replacement because they also know that this motherboards are not going to be around forever. They're going to be dying, and at one point they need to be replaced. What we're giving them the option is basically to get new modern hardware which can be easily replaced. I mean, you can just buy a Miha once from iTech or from Mai, and you're up and running again, and at the same time still keep their old stuff, their old Scala applications, their old legacy software they've developed, and you can still keep it around. Let's now turn to the Miha 1 version. Of course, many people are interested in the Miha 1 version. What needs to be done for mobile phones? I just love them. Usually mine goes off halfway through the presentation, so. Yeah, I didn't turn it off. I didn't get a call yet. So anyway, so yeah, the Miha 1 version. So what needs to be done for that? I mean, people are always making a big fuss about, oh yeah, Miha OS is tied to the custom chipset. That's true. I mean, it is tied to the custom chipset, but it's not so bad as people claim it is. And there are three main areas where there are dependencies on the custom chipset. One of them is exec. I mean, exec had all kinds of calls to the 68K hardware and the underlying Miha chipsets to do things like interrupts and everything like that. We've completely re-implemented exec, and it runs on the Miha 1. We've demonstrated that close to a year ago almost. So that's not a problem anymore. Then we got all kinds of devices, things like serial device, parallel device, audio device. These all hit the hardware, the Miha hardware. I mean, Miha has its own serial bus, it has its own parallel handling and everything like that. So these need to be re-implemented for the Miha 1 hardware. But I mean, these are modular type of things. I mean, you can have one guy doing the serial device, and another guy does the keyboard device, and another guy does the time device. You don't need one guy to do everything in succession. So we don't think that's going to take all that long to do this. And then finally, there's graphics library. Of course, graphics library completely geared towards using AGA displays. And, but together with P96, you can combine the two, then you get something that's able to display AmigaOS graphics on typical graphics cards like Furu 3, ATI, Radeon, and so forth. Look at Amitlon. It works flawlessly on standard hardware. But even look at the Draco. People always think, oh yeah, the Draco. I don't know if you people are familiar with the Draco, but it was more or less a custom chipless Amiga. It was a clone without the custom chipsets, and that worked fine. I mean, so all these people saying, oh, it's going to take at least another year before you're going to have it running on the Amiga one, that's nonsense. I mean, it might take, say, 3 months or something, but it's certainly not going to take a year. If I know the Freedoms, it's certainly that they'll probably spend 16 hours a day. We have one motivating factor, and I'm very grateful to all these people who continuously tell the Freedoms they can't do it. You know, that's the best thing. So, we had all these people on Amiga Network News say, you can't do that, you know, you need to use a sandbox and your emulation concept's never going to work, and no, besides, you're all game porters, you know, what the hell do you know about upgrades? So, I mean, these people are, I mean, I'm going to send them a nice Christmas card and thanking them for their excellent support, because they've been a source of incredible motivation to all of us. So that's about it for my introductory remarks. I don't know what the organizers have been able to get running. In principle, it might be OS 4 running on the 68K. It might also be that there are some PPC machines with XXSG running natively. Obviously, it's using right now it's using interpretive emulation, which means that it only reaches 468K. Programs, when you emulate them, you reach about a performance of 68 or 40 at 40 megahertz, which is of course not very, on the Cyberstorm 200 megahertz, not very spectacular, but the idea is, first of all, the entire operating system, 95% of it, is going to be PPC native, so that's going to be removing a lot of stress. And secondly, we'll bring in the just-in-time emulator, which is even on a very low-end Blizzard PPC of 160 megahertz, you get in excess of an 06050 speed. I invite you to visit the Petunia website, which is the JIT emulator, and the performance we're squeezing out of the JIT is really incredible. And even when you're just using Cyberstorm PPC, it'll feel like you suddenly have an 060 at 80 megahertz, just running old applications that are completely unaware of OS 4. That's already a very good reason to buy OS 4. So. If there are any questions, I'll just do it. Or you first want to tinker around with the operating system and then annoy me with questions. And I'm not responsible for any color schemes, but Matthew Killa did ask me that we've been experimenting a lot with colors. You might have seen first it was more conservative, the old style colors, dark gray or darkish gray and then a darker blue. But then people said, it looks old fashioned. Because everybody's now used to Windows XP and Mac OS X with very bright colors, and the Fisher-Price OS, somebody once described it to me. But anyway, so if that's really what people want these days, then we'll be happy to oblige. As you may find out soon enough, everything is customizable. You can change everything, colors, fonts, the shapes, it's the gradients, you can turn them on, off. It's really, the intuition is really a very nice piece of work. All the rest of the system is less visible. It's all under the hood, as they say in English. But the engine, like XXSG, is really the engine of the operating system. A couple of words about XXSG. Even on old programs, you'll be able to, who are completely unaware that they're running on OS 4, they'll be able to use a virtual memory. So if you have very large files, limited memory, the page will kick in automatically, and you'll get extra memory swapped in from disk. It's completely optional, because some people hate virtual memory for some reason, because they're used to it on Windows. You press a mouse button, then you wait for 5 seconds before the window moves. But that's not how it works on OS 4. So, first of all, it only pages when there's a need to do so. Windows does it every time, even when there is no need to do so. I mean, actually, when the more memory you put into a Windows XP box, the less for some reason it uses more. So you have more, then it uses more. I don't know why that is, but there's probably a very valid Microsoft explanation for that. But anyway, so that's one thing. First of all, secondly, things like resource tracking and management, even for 68K programs, is possible. when a program crashes, and inevitably programs are going to crash on OS 4, it won't bring down the system quite as easy as it does now, because for instance the kernel is memory protected, unused memory is memory protected. Just imagine running OS 3.9 with Enforcer active all the time. Badly behaving programs simply don't have the possibility, as they used to have, to bring down the system. It's going to be a lot harder. That's why OS 4 is in theory at least, a lot more stable than OS 3.9, because programs are being reined in. Programs overriding other programs' memory or overriding the system, that's not going to happen anymore. So memory protection, virtual memory, resource tracking, resource management, these are all modern functionality that we've introduced in the kernel, and we hope that people will start using them as soon as OS 4 is available. We'll be doing a developer CD as Olaf Bartel did for OS 3.9. We're actually already hard at work on it, producing the include files and everything like that, so that as soon as OS 4 is on the market, a developer CD will be available at next to minimal cost, with a complete compiler, GCC-based compiler, with an own C runtime library, meaning it doesn't use XML anymore. It's going to be completely OS 4 native, and a bunch of cross-compilers. You'll be able to compile code for OS 4 on Linux PPC, on Linux x86, even on OS 3.x you'll be able to compile code. Actually, we are already using these cross-compilers to compile modules for OS 4. Okay, that's about it for me for now.